Welcome. Are you ready to take a journey with me into knowledge, enlightenment, and discovery? Then let's journey again together. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Good afternoon and welcome. I am Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide in a journey of discoveries. And boy, are we going to have some fun today. Right off, I'd like to invite you to my website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. Now there you're going to find out all about my past guests, my future guests, and lots of resource information too. And while you're there, you can find out how to schedule a private reading with me. I have a few limited number of time slots open for personal readings. So to call and schedule an appointment, that number is 888-958-2768. Well, spring has sprung, and boy, have I been spending a lot of time playing in Mother Earth, getting my garden and all the flower beds planted. You know, in fact, yesterday I planted and counted 75 different type of bulbs. I can't tell you how much I enjoy getting back to Mother Earth. And right along those same lines, my guest today, Jay North, is going to help us with our organic garden. You know, he's written a number of books on the subject, including Getting Started in Organic Gardening for Fun and Profit, The Windowsill Organic Gardener. You can find out more information by going to his website, and that's goingorganic.com. You'll find all of his books and lots of wonderful resource information. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with my guest, Jay North. Journeys with Rebecca is sponsored by Fate Magazine, published continuously since 1948, with a broad array of true accounts of the strange and unknown. Subscribe today at FateMag.com.
More than talk, it's entertaining insight and discoveries. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca, and we are here with my guest, Jay North. We are going to be, you know, spring is in the air, so we have decided that we are going to be bringing to you some great information from Jay about some organic gardening. Don't let that turn you off, because this is going to be a great show. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, this is going to be so much fun. You know, I'm kind of a play in the dirt kind of gal.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I like to get my hands dirty. I'm not one of those that go, oh my God, I ruined my manicure.
Oh, good. Come over and help me pull some weeds.
Just love digging in the dirt. I love the smell of it.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, I like watching things grow after you've done the work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you a brief story, and then I'm going to let you get on with this because it's you've got so much information to share.
Okay.
My aunt, you know, I grew up in a rural area in Michigan, and we had farms. Both grandparents on both sides of the family had farms. Well, my aunt would go out, and she planted this huge garden every year, and this was her personal garden. And she was the one that really brought the love of gardening, whether it be vegetable gardening or flower gardening or herb gardening. She was the one that brought it to me. She would so lovingly get her seeds ready and do all the seed starters and, you know,
mm-hmm.
place them in the ground. And we would walk out into the garden in the very early morning hours, and she would say, look, look, and there would be these little green things coming out of the dirt. Isn't that wonderful? Look at what Mother Earth is giving to us.
Exactly.
And it was just her joy and her enthusiasm and her, I don't know, awe, you know, of every year she did this. And every year she had the same feeling about growing a garden.
Yes.
So it was, that's just kind of where I got my passion, if you will, for that.
Mm-hmm.
But today we're going to be talking specifically about organic gardening. And before I forget, because we will let everyone know at the end of the hour, your website, which is goingorganic.com. Very
yes.
simple website. Great, great stuff there too. But let's talk about springtime. Different parts of the country obviously have different times in which they can grow.
Correct.
So let's start out with some of your knowledge base, knowing that I'm here in the Midwest, you're out there in California. Different growing seasons, does that
right.
mean any difference for people?
Oh, absolutely. I lived in Montana for a long time, and I had, of course, in Montana, I had a very, very short growing season. As a matter of fact, some years we used to call it winter, and we'd call it August. We didn't have a summer, you know, it was...
Very cold.
You know, everybody is faced with these challenges, of course, with greenhouse growing and this sort of thing, or growing indoors. Your season can certainly be lengthened. I would just like to say one thing in relation to what the story you told about your grandmother and her lovingly tending her garden every year. That was really, I can relate to that so well because I had two introductions to organic farming, organic gardening. My first, I'm a lot older than some of your listeners, my first introduction.
Be careful.
was in 1968 at a place called Strawberry Fields, for what we were certain, John Lennon wrote the song about us. And it was a hippie commune. A young man who had left sort of the hippie going-ons in the streets of San Francisco and Sunset Boulevard and Venice Beach and stuff at the time, I'm referring to California, of course, went back to the farm. His father owned property in Oxnard and Ventura and, of course, the piece in Malibu, which was Strawberry Farms, Strawberry Fields. And because his father, as a professional grower, was a strawberry grower, we took up growing strawberries on the land, hence Strawberry Fields. Although when we first started growing, we were not entirely organic. As a matter of fact, organic was not a chic or cliche word at the time. It was rarely used at the time. A man named Roland, who is an absolute delight to know, and he's a legend in Santa Barbara now, he, like so many people at the time, just made his way to Strawberry Fields. And this was actually during Thanksgiving. We had a huge long table because the people would come and go. There could be as few as 80 people and as many as 250 people living on the farm at any given time. So during Thanksgiving, we set up these huge long tables in a long row through the main living room of the house, into the kitchen, and out even sort of into the service porch so most of the people could all be seated together. And Roland stood up and said, "To hell with the chemical companies. We're not going to support them. We're growing organic." And we all thought, who is this guy and what's organic? But the reason I can relate to your story so well, my second introduction to back into farming was really when I got married in 1974 because I got away from it when I left the farm. But my wife was very much into it. And she reintroduced me into the earth and putting a seed in the ground and watching something grow and being able to consume it or give it away or sell it or feed it to our menagerie of exotic pets we had at the time. And for me, it was instant passion. For lack of a better word, it was instant purpose. It was glorious joy and love of being able to go out and put my hands in the dirt, dig it, till it, make my organic fertilizers at the time because there was nothing on the market. I mixed my own pig manure, chicken manure, and fish gut in a great big 55-gallon drum to fertilize my plants with. And we used to pick our bugs off at night with a flashlight.
Yep, been there.
So, there, you know, for people like us that find joy in the earth, whether gardening or farming or really just being out in nature and taking a walk, we feel a connection to the earth. We feel a connection to the plants. And it's more than just growing pretty things to look at or something to eat. There's a sort of a divine connection, if you will. So I forgot your question, but I just wanted to... spring. You know, there's a song. It was actually changed slightly. It was written by Mick Jagger and a woman named Amanda Ambrose, who may not be alive anymore. I don't know. I haven't seen her in years. She used to sing the song with the original lyrics. And if you don't mind, I'll sing it.
Oh, please do.
Oh, shit, it's spring. Oh, shit, it's spring.
Oh, no. That's
I know.
Great.
Well, because we managed to get ourselves in all sorts of jams during spring.
Exactly.
Yes. So, you know, springtime for me to be able to go out and start turning the ground again and tilling and planting seeds and, like you said, I spend all winter going through seed catalogs and what I'm planning for what I'm going to plant and what I want to eat. And it's just sort of a, you know, it's a time of anticipation, expectation, and it's a wondrous time as well. In California, I have a longer growing season. In the Ojai Valley where I live, we only have a short frost season. So I already have artichokes putting on edible flowers. You know, my arugula is doing fine, my dill is doing fine, my chard is doing well. And then, you know, I'll turn it again in a day or two and plant everything in anticipation for late spring and summer harvest, and of course, later, even later for fall, you know, my pumpkins and things. But spring is just sort of, you know, it's a wondrous time to be out. I happen to, you know, I enjoy taking my shoes off so I can feel the earth under my feet. I like having my shirt off so I get a little sun on my back. There's nothing like vitamin D.
That's right, natural vitamin D.
Right, natural vitamin D. And the anticipation of, you know, spending time in the afternoons when I'm finished writing my books or working on my website or answering 250 emails I get a day.
Yeah, and 20 of them are from me.
Right.
Write my email and we'll do lunch, right?
I can come out in the afternoon and spend quiet, peaceful time out in my garden. I turn the phone off. I turn my computer off. And, you know, it's just a joy for me.
Well,
you know,
it's a time for people
for
to reconnect.
Well over 30 years now.
Yeah, and it is a time for, and I think really what people need to do is that it's, if nothing else, it's a huge stress reliever.
Oh, yes.
Because you aren't bothered by the internet, by the TV, by the phone, by anything else that's going on.
Yes.
You're simply there tending to the garden. And,
yes,
you know, I think a lot of people have misnomers that gardens have to be huge to be beneficial, and that's not even a true statement.
No, I mean, my garden today, I don't commercially farm anymore. I stopped doing that. I still do consulting and what have you. But my garden now is really only a 20 by 20 plot.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what mine is. I actually do, because I live in a suburbs, and it's a, you know, kind of a city environment, and I have a small yard, and so I'm doing, you know, kind of, it's a, like a box gardening is what it is in a sense. But only mine's a two-tier. And so on the bottom tier I grow some things, and on the top tier I grow other things. And it's not very big, but I sure get enough food to feed myself. I give food away. And certainly there's enough for me to put up, you know, because I still do a little canning and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There's nothing more enjoyable than in the cold, cold winter here in January, February, is opening up a canned jar of tomatoes or beans or carrots or whatever it is that, you know, I happen to put up, or pickles.
Yeah.
And
I
have
put up,
everybody
I put up all
enjoy
my
them.
Fruits every year, I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a delight to think that I'm actually eating, it's freshly canned to me.
Yeah.
And it certainly doesn't taste anything like what we get.
Yeah.
And the stores.
Yeah. You've used a key word a few times so far in this conversation that I would like to bring up.
Sure.
And we started out a little bit about this with the story of Roland, and that word is organic.
Yes.
And, you know, organic means a lot of things to a lot of people these days. I'll just mention the only organic produce that you should buy in the market should be certified organic to keep everybody honest. But the importance of organics, and I would like to talk about that for just a moment, if you don't mind.
I'd love to.
In terms of thinking about what we ingest for our health, for our well-being, for our body's vitality and longevity, organic is really the best bet, and I'll tell you why. How many of your listeners, or you or I, would go out and drink a bottle of pesticides, herbicides, or fungicides? Probably not many. Now, I understand and agree with the notion that those products are diluted with water, but they're still poisons. They kill bacteria, they kill pests, they're anti-life, and why would we want to put something in our bodies or in the ground or eventually drain it into the water system, which is anti-life? It doesn't make much sense to me. There's no question, as far as doubt or reservation, that organics are a better bet for our bodies, because now there's been thousands of research studies done on the difference. Now, the chemical companies may not want to admit to this, and they don't particularly like me saying this, and I'll probably get a nasty letter from them, because there is huge profits in selling commercial products or non-organic products to commercial farmers. Several of these products, which is another interesting point, and it's one of the chapters in my brand new book, called How Safe Is Your Food? Miracles in the Kitchen, is food politics. Now, for instance, just one chemical alone, DDT, which has actually been outlawed in the United States for several years, federally mandated, farmers cannot use it. But DDT is still manufactured and sold, primarily to South American countries. Chile uses it, Peru uses it, on and on and on through Mexico, Central, and South America. And what do they do with their produce? They ship it back to the United States. How much sense does that make? The government does not want us using the product here. They'll allow DuPont to sell it to third world countries where they can use it, Africa, India included, and ship their products all over the world.
Well, I think that's a conspiracy.
It's a scary thing. And yeah, there's actually a list of about 30 products used for commercial farming that have either been completely outlawed in the United States or curtailed to such an extent that it really doesn't even pay for commercial farmers to use them much anymore, although being commercial farmers and having basically the bottom line in mind, they do use the products. Now, what would you rather consume? If you go out to your garden and you're going to pick a leaf of lettuce and you're going to eat it right from the stalk, or you're going to pick a piece of corn or a tomato, what would you rather eat? I choose to eat organics, and I certainly hope that we can make enough impression eventually. You know, I just did a presentation for 200-300 students at Ventura High School day before yesterday. Several of these young people are completely and very aware of organics and the difference, and they have the desire to change the planet to be a better place to live. So if we can make this sort of influence and encourage change, there could come a time where we go back to pre-1930s, 1940s, when everything was organic.
Well, the interesting thing is honestly, I didn't know there was not any such thing as organics, because we grew up and we never used anything.
Mm-hmm.
We never used anything in our gardens. I mean, you know, we did the whole manure thing and all that for, you know, fertilizer,
right,
and all of that stuff. But we were out there, like you said, at night with flashlights picking bugs off. And,
yes, exactly.
You know, I'd go out to the tomato plants and take the little worms off them. Mm-hmm. I still get goobed out about that.
Right.
I don't like those little worms. I don't know. They just bother me. Anyway, you know, I really honestly didn't know that there was anything other than that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, somebody started talking to me about some of the stuff that they're, you know, and then that's when I said I moved to the city, and, you know, and things became very different in my world.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, oh my God, I'm eating junk.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, eating junk.
Yeah, most 98% of the country is.
It's just junk.
Still, as popular as organics have become, there's still a huge shortage of organic product on the market.
Well, I think that's because of, you know, because the farming industry is so regulated, and it is about the bottom dollar. A farmer can't obviously produce food if he can't make any money to do such a thing.
Absolutely. Organic farmers have just the same challenge.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they do have natural pesticides, if you will.
There's over 1,000 varieties of natural deterrents,
yes,
on the market to prevent pest damage to plants.
Yes.
So there's no reason not to be organic anymore.
Well, and you know, the other thing that I want to bring up is, while we're talking about this kind of stuff, I interviewed a doctor a few years back, and I think I've probably quoted him probably 100 times since then. And he was talking from a medical standpoint about how, and he's a regular medical doctor, by the way, he's written this fabulous book,
mm-hmm,
but he was talking about how, you know, when somebody gets sick, they give them medicines, they give them drugs or pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
He said they wonder why people don't respond to pharmaceuticals, because we're treating biological beings with non-biological product.
Right.
So I was like, you know, there was something so profound about that. I looked at that, everything in my life differently.
Yeah.
You know, we are biological beings, so why am I putting this in my body?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I just to plug my new book again, if you don't mind, I mean, I cover that thoroughly and completely in a book that I just finished. Actually, I'm just now editing, and it'll be finished. It's up, it was up to 105,000 words. I managed to bring it down to 85,000 words. How Safe Is Your Food? Miracles in the Kitchen talks about specifics in terms of preventing diseases and health challenges. And, you know, I don't have an axe to grind. I'm not looking to go after the FDA or the medical profession or the government.
Right.
But what I am hoping to help influence people with is to take a look at diet changes, the types of things they're ingesting. In terms of foods that heal alone, well, on the subject of natural foods for treating various health challenges, that chapter is 12,000 words on its own. But I go after very, very specific types of ailments and think challenges that people are dealing with, including cancer and heart disease and insomnia and diabetes, depression and anxiety, diet and obesity, acne, hepatitis, arthritis, menopause, the flu. And all of these sort of challenges can really be dealt with on three levels of what we're ingesting.
Hang on just a minute, Jane. We'll be right back, so we'll talk a little bit more about that. You guys don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have questions about your love life or your job? Get your private psychic reading from Rebecca. Call to schedule an appointment at 1-888-958-2768. That number again is 1-888-958-2768.
Hi, this is Rebecca. You know, it's easy to keep up with all the latest Journeys news, my upcoming guests. Just sign up to receive the Journeys newsletter. It's free, and you will never receive any junk mail. Your email is never sold or distributed. So keep up to date the easy way. Just log on to my website, JourneysWithRebecca.com, and at the bottom of the main page, you'll see the box. Type in your email address, and you're done. And once a week or so, you'll receive all the latest Journeys news.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@JourneysWithRebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. Now, Jay, on the last segment, we got cut off, and you were talking about, you know, foods that heal. And,
yes.
You know, you had given us a whole list, cancer, menopause, flu, arthritis, et cetera, and so forth. So I'm going to let you finish that up.
Okay. Yeah, and just talking about things that I've addressed in this book on natural things that people can do to stay healthy or to treat whatever they may have going on. But it's really, you know, in terms of, I go extensively into herbal supplements, foods that heal, juicing, sweating, and something people may not like to hear about, may not want to talk about, may not even enjoy reading much, except that I consider it extremely important and beneficial, is that we cleanse our bodies at least twice a year. And the best way to do that is with coffee enemas. And I talk about the importance of coffee enemas and how to do them and the purpose for them, as well as wheatgrass juicing, organic vegetable fruit juicing. You know, these sorts of things that I'm talking about are really basic, vital, life force-giving plants and properties to maintain the body, including spirituality and including prayer and good attitude and laughter and
just having joy for life.
Yes.
I want to address the issue of the cleansing.
I'm sorry?
I want to address the issue of cleansing.
Okay.
Because I'm a firm believer in that as well. Now, let me just, for those out there that don't understand why one would do that, anybody who works in an office or works in a building all day long, you're surrounded usually by computers, by synthetics, there's synthetic carpeting, wax products, the heavy-duty cleaning products if you have a cleaning company coming in. Usually, if they're an older building, you know, obviously you've got the filtration system. They're certainly not putting HEPA filters on. They're not cleansing the air. You have all these pollutants, literally, that just surround you. When you get in your car, it's covered in the heat in there. Forms gases from the vinyl, from the fabric, because it's all got to be flame retardant, and just all of the petrochemical products as well as the other types. You are absolutely inundated day in and day out with these types of products. Just your pores just pull it in. And if you do a cleanse, at least like you said, a couple of times a year, it helps the body, specifically the liver, which is where most things get accumulated in. It allows for the release of those toxic things that build up. And over time, it's kind of like plaque on the teeth. Over time, it's going to build up and build up and build up, and then it's going to cause a breakdown somewhere in the body.
Yes.
In forms of what you call disease, illness, sickness, unhealthiness. When one doesn't feel well, one doesn't perform well, one does not have joy in life, one finds hard time to have peace. So cleansing for me is a very, very, very important thing to do.
Absolutely.
You can overdo it. There are certainly do's and don'ts to it.
Absolutely.
But I agree that we have to do that. Yeah. I mean, even if you're not eating everything that's organic, if you can't do it here, I'm in the Midwest, and specifically in the Kansas City area, we have natural food stores here where I can go and buy range-free meats. These animals have never eaten pesticide-laden foods.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to be their animals like they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
They've never been injected with antibiotics,
right,
or anything to make less feathers grow, or whatever the case may be, to grow bigger, fatter, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
These are all natural. So for those who are carnivores, you can actually find certified organic meats. That's
mm-hmm.
your meats. You don't get all. That's why we're as a race, we're now so imbibed with, you get an antibiotic and it just doesn't seem to work anymore. It's because we eat antibiotics in everything that we touch.
Right.
Everything is injected with it.
Right.
So, you know.
And food additives and
yes.
processed foods is another problem.
Oh, processed foods are absolutely the worst things because of all the heavily processed stuff that they go through just to get in a
right.
can to get on the shelf.
Right.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah.
And people would actually be frightened if they actually seen the process of some of the stuff that they put in their bodies.
Yeah.
They would. They,
yeah.
You know, they absolutely would. The McNuggets, I'm sorry, did I say that loud? I don't mean to slam them. But, you
right.
know, those little McNuggets, anything that's shaped, form, pressed, stay away from it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My, it's awful.
Yeah, I devote a whole chapter to that in my book. That
oh, good.
About.
Yeah. I can't wait. And you're going to have to stop me of that. You really will.
I will.
I can't wait
I
to get
I will.
It. But let's talk a little, you know, got off on the track a little bit. You know, again, I live in the city. I do have a little bit of land here, so I am able to garden. But there's a lot of people that live in apartments or condos or townhouses.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about windowsill gardening.
Can I plug another book?
Absolutely.
I wrote a book called The Windowsill Organic Gardener. It's on my website, goingorganic.com. And because there are so many people in the country and in the world that live in apartments, condos, flats and high rises, you know, they just really don't have any land. They have sometimes a small deck or a very small backyard, but just about all of them have a window sill or a counter space. I've been in some of these apartments in various cities throughout the United States that people grow a huge menagerie of tropical plants right in their, all through their house. Why not grow those plants organically? Why use pesticides that are basically not needed indoors and chemical fertilizers that your pets are very likely to ingest as whole product? And if you're eating things that you're going to be eating, if you're growing things you're going to be eating, why use pesticides? So I wrote a whole book devoted to the subject of growing in small spaces. And it can be done in very small containers, pots, or wooden boxes. You can grow just about everything you can think of, including some tree, producing crop producing plants indoors. Herbs you can grow indoors, flowers you can grow indoors. I actually had trailing cucumbers throughout my entire kitchen and dining room during the winter of all times in Montana. Granted, I had to heat my house to a constant 60 degrees to keep them going, but it happened to work. So, you know, I mean, for apartment dwellers who would like to grow a little something to eat, with wheatgrass, you'd like to sprout your own wheatgrass, you can do that on your counter easily, or a few of your favorite herbs that you like to cook with.
Oh,
for
and there's nothing better.
For about 20 years now, basil has been a very popular herb for cooking with.
And it's easy to grow.
And it's easy to grow, and you can grow it indoors.
You know, and
you may need a grow lamp or a sunroof, but you can indeed grow it indoors. So,
well, and I think we need to let people know too, Jay, is that, you know, these, when people that have never gardened before, have never had the opportunity to do that, they need to understand this is not a hard process.
Oh, it's very easy.
It's one of the easiest things in the world because...
And costs less than $25 to get started.
Yeah, and Mother Nature does the rest of it.
Right.
I mean, she had a divine plan before we were here. Put a seed in and it will grow
right.
As long as it has some water and light.
Yeah.
And you know, we need that. So you think about the human being, we need water and we need light.
Right. Exactly.
And plants are living things.
Yes.
So anyway, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. I'm trying to picture the cucumbers.
That's fine.
The trailing.
I mean, just leave this wherever it will go.
Well, the trailing cucumbers, that's just given me a really strange visual. I'm just imagining them, you know, draped over curtain rods and...
Yeah, I just put nails up in the wall and tied them on with twist ties, and they were all over the place. I was married at the time. My wife, unfortunately, is gone, but we had a laugh at it. It's that, you know, trailing the cucumbers all over the house, and it was sort of a standing joke with people who come to visit, but I didn't mind much. I was willing to be the brunt of it because I got to eat the cucumbers.
Yeah, and they probably shared a little bit in the feast as well.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, so they quit complaining after that, I'm sure.
You know, another very easy one to start, I gave this recommendation to a friend of mine here in Ojai about 10 years ago, and since it's such a simple, easy plant to create from a mother plant, and you can start them indoors, and... For Tim, it ended up being a huge commercial enterprise now, and he's built hot houses. he's doing extremely well at it with African violets.
Wow.
They're such a pretty little plant. They produce a beautiful flower.
Yes.
They're so easy to start, and I tell how to start them, of course, in my book. I'll tell you the story. He's a young man who has mental health challenges,
uh-huh.
Lives with his mother, and is depressed often. And I said, Tim, you just need something to do. You need to connect with the plant. You need to connect with the earth. You need to connect with living things and get your mind off yourself a little bit. Get out of yourself and put your attention into a plant or something else. And it took... He fell in love with it immediately, and has, you know, God bless him, he's turned this into a thriving business. He attends, like, I think 6 or 7 farmers markets in the area every day. He's out to a different farmers market. He's proud as can be of his plants. And, you know, you got to pat a guy in the back for taking the initiative, not only to grow a couple plants indoors that he could enjoy, but he managed to turn into, I got to tell you, I think around a $10,000 a month income, if not
Oh,
more.
My goodness. Well, gosh, how great is that?
Yeah.
Not bad.
Mom doesn't have to pay for the groceries.
Well, what a wonderful story. That's a great story. And better than that, it's true. It's wonderful.
Yes.
Well, how good is that?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm glad you appreciate it.
You know, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I have tried unsuccessfully several times to grow, you know, they have those small strawberries, they're hanging strawberries,
uh-huh.
that you can grow indoors, supposedly.
Right.
I don't do very well. They don't produce much. I'm not having any luck with my hanging strawberry plant.
Yeah, part of the reason you could be having a challenge with your hanging strawberries is the medium they come in. If you're buying them from one of the retail outlets, they're coming in a peat, primarily peat moss material. and the peat is not enough to supply them with everything they need. Now, if you happen to have nearby any pine forest, where if you have pine forest where the trees are being grown for paper pulp or whatever, there's going to be pines all over the ground. Gather those pine needles, crush them up, add some water to them, and add them to the existing compost in the pot. Strawberries love an acidic soil.
Oh.
And pine needles will supply that.
Oh, you're right. I bet you my soil isn't. It is. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool.
And the other thing is that with strawberries particularly, of course, they need plenty of sunlight. They need full sunlight. They maybe need to draw them near a window. They need a fairly warm temperature to grow, although it does not have to be hot in a hothouse condition. And you cannot overwater strawberries. You cannot underwater strawberries. If you put your finger in the potting material that it's in and it feels dry, it needs water. If it's slightly moist, it does not need water.
Okay, so I think I'm doing two things. I think I'm overwatering it, and I think if the soil is not good, what I'm doing with it.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Right.
So I'm going to try your trick and see if I can't do better this year with them.
Okay, that's a free one now.
Okay.
That's what we have to charge you for.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Now I'm going to be in debt.
That's right. Join the rest of us.
Yeah, isn't that true? Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, that's life, right?
Yeah.
At least as we know it. The other thing that I want to talk to you about, too, is, you know, when I grew up, we planted these things that most people would call weeds, and we ate them.
Yeah, dandelions.
As a salad.
Yeah.
Oh, dandelions are great, by the way. People don't, you know, people go, oh, they try like crazy to get rid of them. I'm like,
no. I have to tell you something right here. Because of where I live, we have the greatest natural salads growing out in the forest.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, shepherd's lettuce and miner's purse. And it grows wild all through these mountains. So you just go out and harvest it and bring home a salad or eat it right there. When they're tiny, they are just as good as any baby lettuce you're going to find in the market, if not better.
And I have to tell people, you know, there's so much just all around you that you don't realize that's just...
Nasturtiums, edible flowers. You can go out and pick nasturtiums. You can pick flowering herbs from plants. If you have, if they're organic and they're in the neighborhood, you happen to be passing by a flowering rosemary, take some of the flowers. They're terrific to eat right off the vine.
Oh, yeah. Rosemary is a great flavor.
Yeah.
It and really is.
Roses.
Roses are good, too.
You can grow roses in your backyard or, on the porch, and you're not spraying them with anything. There's a jillion things you can do with rose petals. Rose syrup, rose tea, rose candy. Candied roses on top of pastries, if you happen to eat pastries. We don't, I know.
Oh, no. No. No, no, not at all, except for around the holidays.
Yeah.
Too much then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to have some pastries in your life. I want to take this just real quick and make a mention, though. For people who don't know, just don't go arbitrarily out picking stuff and eating it, because some of it isn't good for you.
Right.
And it can make you sick.
Absolutely.
So before you go on some kind of a hunting expedition wherever you may live, please make sure that you do research on what is native around you.
Yep.
And find out what's available, what you can eat, and what you can't eat, because we don't want anyone getting sick either.
Yeah, there's actually a wonderful book. It's not one. It is not one of mine, unfortunately. But for people that do want to hunt living foods in the forest or out in neighborhoods or wherever, Wild Edible Plants. I actually wrote a little booklet called Guide to Cooking with Edible Flowers. It gives the same warning that not all plants are edible. Be very careful about what you do eat and make sure it seems safe for consumption. So, I would suggest the same thing. Anybody that is thinking about going out and doing foraging, make sure you know what you're eating. And the proof of the pudding of that is unfortunately, with people that don't know what they're doing, particularly with wild mushrooms, folks, there's some wild mushrooms growing out there that you cannot eat.
Yeah.
You have to know what mushrooms are edible. There's a field guide also for edible mushrooms. For instance, in the West, in at least four or five states that I know of, we have a mushroom called a chanterelle, which are wonderful to eat with. You can barbecue these things and think you're eating a steak.
Wow.
They're so full of flavor. Its cousin, the jack-o'-lantern, that looks exactly like it, except for the spores, is not edible. And people that have found out the hard way have given up their lives in doing so.
Yeah,
jack-o'-lantern is a surefire killer. You're dead within 24 hours. It's a very painful death, and there's no antidote.
Not good.
So you really have to know what you're picking
right.
in terms of consumption for its edibility. So same with flowers, same with any wild plant. There's herbal plants and chaparrales and this sort of thing that grow in the forest. Some of them are safe for human consumption, and some are not. There's one variety, two varieties of the same plant, and they're classified now. I'll say something before I tell what the plant is that unfortunately, in capsule, tea, or raw form, you cannot purchase this plant. For some reason, the FDA found that it was unsafe to consume after about 20,000 reports or more of it being a cancer cure. Now, why it was pulled off the shelf, you go figure. I can't. Except that its cousin is not edible, and this could have been their thinking. One is chaparral H, and the other is chaparral F. Chaparral H is edible. It's got a very delightful, beautiful little flower, pink kind of bell-shaped flower. That is used for all sorts of medicinal purposes in terms of cleansing and treatments. Its cousin, the F variety, has a red flower that looks just like pink flower. But if you consume it, it could be not safe. So there's another field guide for wild plants as well, specifically for indigenous herbal plants that grow, you know, out in the plains, in most mountain states, all over Mexico, South America, China, India. You know, we're talking about edible plants and their possible use for treatment. The Chinese use no less than 400 wild mushrooms for the treatment of various diseases.
And you know, the Chinese medicine is something that I think has become a little bit more popular here in the Western countries. And
yeah.
I think it's really important that people pay attention to that. But you guys, hang on. Oh, my gosh. We got so much more to go through. We'll be right back with more of Journeys in Jay North. Hang on.
At Fate Magazine, they recognize the impossible can be possible. We explore the unknown so that it can be known. From personal accounts of ghosts and UFOs to scientific examination of psychic phenomena and earth mysteries, Fate's main purpose continues to be honest reporting and open discussion of the strange and the unknown. So log on to www.fatemag.com or call 1-800-728-2730.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Bringing it back with some really nice music there. We are here with my guest, Jay North. We've been talking about many things, but specifically about organic gardening and some of the do's and don'ts. We've talked a little bit about some of the books, and we're going to give Jay an opportunity at the end of the show here to give you his web addresses again, as well as where to get his books, et cetera, and so forth. But, Jay, I think we kind of want to turn this last few minutes here into more of the spiritual aspect or the spiritual healing aspect of life. So I'm going to kind of let you run with that.
Okay. You jump in and ask any questions that occur to you. Just by way of introduction, I've been involved in sort of the metaphysical, spiritual healing route to wholeness for about 35 years as well. In truth, my first introduction was through a church I attended with a friend of mine when I was 16 years old, and they were doing a healing ceremony at the church. It was a Universalist Unitarian church, actually in Southern California, where I lived when I was a boy, and I was struck by it. It sort of hit a chord. Using a popular phrase today, it resonated. And
right.
I got to say, it stuck. So I ended up attending that church for a couple of years before I actually left the area to go sort of see the world. But I certainly did not leave for a moment in my consciousness that there is a spiritual aspect to life and a reason for us being here. I became involved in actually several modalities of researching and looking at and treating and facilitating individuals to help relieve whatever particular suffering they may have and help to brighten their future in terms of opening them up to having a look at their past and what their walk is through life and what their purpose is for being here, and certainly in hopes of helping them gain abilities to achieve their hopes and dreams. A couple of them that I spent, a lot of years with and very sort of closely connected was religious science, and for the most part, I still love religious science. I've looked very deeply into Sufism, which I consider myself a Sufi student, into Hinduism and Buddhism, and silver mind control, and Scientology and Dianetics, and more recently, for the past 10 or 15 years, into strictly dealing with people's challenges, entry-level challenges, and expansion into some rather esoteric areas we can get into if you'd like to.
Oh, I'm game.
working with people on an energetic level. And the work now is really based on science, and physics, and the love of intending to bring a person to a better place, strictly through the manipulation of energy flows. And what am I referring to? When we look at a person, a body with a mind, being a spirit in control, hopefully in somewhat control, as much as we can have, there are four elements involved, and those elements are matter, energy, space, and time, with the controlling factor in the circle being energy, because without energy, we don't have the other three. It just doesn't work. That was proven in high school physics, if you remember.
Yeah, I was there that day.
Good girl. I saw you. You were at the back of the room. I kept staring at you. Sorry. So... the work today that I'm doing, and it's another book that I wrote, and actually I just finished the second half of it. There's our third completion of it. I don't think it'll ever be thoroughly complete. That book is called The Gift of Touch. And originally I go into the book talking about very sort of mild entry-level points to help to relieve body aches and pains and this sort of thing through massage therapy. So I addressed massage therapy in the book to start with. I also became a licensed massage therapist in 1971. And then it expands considerably to go into gifting or the gift of touch to address specifically what manages to manifest itself as barriers, locks, and barriers to what we truly want to experience in this life, and that is joy, peace, and love as grand and glorious creators that we are. So now, for instance, if a person comes in specifically, and I get an awful lot of calls and an awful lot of emails for this through my website, spirithealing.net, a person generally comes in with an issue. We all seek healing at crisis. So is that if we're having a family issue, or a relationship issue, or a communication issue with our bosses, or a money issue concerning our finances at home, whatever it may be, that's what we generally work to address to help to relieve that particular type of suffering that a person comes in with. It goes into very sort of specific areas in dealing with entities, or ghosts, some people call them, and either shaking hands with the entity and getting to know them and asking them if they want to be a friendly ghost that hang around and help support you, or if they're not quite so friendly and they appear to have some sort of, let's say, evil intention or destroyer intention, we work to sort of send them off elsewhere and encourage them to find their own healing modality. You know, I'll name some of these things, and if you have questions about them, because people can tend to get stuck in a whole track of life because we've been here for 6 billion years or elsewhere. We've been around for a long time, and we've managed to run into all sorts of interesting challenges caused by implants, caused by electrical grids, caused by getting stuck in a wormhole or on a Mobius strip where we continuously walk the same figure eight throughout several lifetimes. Some of us may have been imprisoned on a planet where we were treated and dealt with as slaves. Some of us could have been on that planet or in that situation for, and some people still may be, for tens of thousands of years. So we help to spot some of these, what we call more esoteric areas, and relieve the suffering from them. Again, now, for instance, some of us made an agreement as a Buddhist would suffer for the relief of the suffering of other sentient beings. Several billion years ago, there was a society that agreed to become surrogate sufferers. The people that have become trapped in that contemplation are continuing to suffer based on the agreement. So we look to relieve it, and we relieve it by pivoting the energy, turning the energy, and set a new postulate or conclusion or decision or projection or judgment in this present time nowness to guide our future.
Okay,
are you still with me?
Yeah, and this is a whole nother show, I'm telling you. Unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of time left in this particular segment.
Okay.
So, First of all, I'm going to invite you back, and we're going to talk about some of these things, because I'd really like to pick your brain, and I know that there's going to be some listeners out there that would as well.
Yeah.
But before we run out of time, you've got about a minute. Give your web addresses and how people can get a hold of you.
Okay. I have two websites at the moment. There's a third being built that, just for the books that's going to be up very soon. The two websites for both organic consulting and for spiritual consulting, organic consulting is goingorganic.com, all one word, and for spirit consulting is spirithealing.net. Now, I would encourage people, your listeners, when you first make contact me through email or direct phone, please just understand this. Your first call should be to set an appointment for a follow-up call. Because I'm inundated with emails and phone calls, I just probably do not have the time when you call the first time or email the first time.
Okay. And you guys, for those of you who are listening, you can get him on my website, journeyswithrebecca.com. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Schedule your private psychic reading with Rebecca, a truly gifted intuitive and clairvoyant, and the host of Journeys with Rebecca radio show. Call 1-888-958-2768. That's 1-888-958-2768. Where will your life's journey take you?
Journeys is always looking for informed, entertaining, and passionate guests. Email your guest suggestion to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
I'd like to thank my guests tonight for sharing their wonderful information and knowledge with us. And a special thanks goes out to you, the listeners. Now, you know, the guests I have on air are given the opportunity to share their viewpoints or ideas. Now, you and I have the opportunity of choice in regards to those ideas or viewpoints. Be sure to check in next week for more enlightening educational talk and discoveries. This is Rebecca of Journeys with Rebecca. Until we meet again, where will your life's journey take you? Many blessings and good night.
Yeah. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.